everyone, and welcome back to another wonderful Whisper in the Wings from Stage Whisper. We have a phenomenal show in store for you today. Today we are talking about a new Creator's Pick show, and joining us to speak about that, we have the incredible actress, Brittany Inge, who is here to talk to us about the new show, Home. It's playing now through July 21st at the Todd Haymes Theater, and you can get your tickets and more information by visiting roundabouttheater.org. We had the immense pleasure of taking the show in about a week ago, and I'm telling you, listeners, it is so, so good. Not just the performances, but the story and just the embodiment of all the characters. I could go on and on and gush, but then we wouldn't have time to speak to our esteemed guests. So with that, why don't we go ahead and welcome on our guest, Brittany. Welcome to Whisper in the Wings from Stage Whisper.
Thank you so much for having me, Andrew. Happy to be here.
I'm honored that you're here. I cannot sing your praises enough and your production's praises enough. It was such a good show. What a brilliant story. And I know in the intro I mentioned that it's a new show, but it's not actually. It's a revival of this great show whose playwright sadly passed away recently. So it's unfortunate that they don't get to see your brilliant interpretation of the piece. But before we get into all of that, why don't we start by having you tell our listeners a little bit about what Home is about?
Yes, so Home is somewhat of a coming of age story, written somewhat in poetry, somewhat in scenes. You know, it flows back and forth between this beautiful poetic language and drops into stories and scenes based on our main character, Cephas Miles's life. And it is really his journey through loss, love, finding his way back home, pun intended, finding his way back to and through his core values. And I think it's a story that is wholly relatable and that everyone will be able to see themselves reflected in, because it is really just a journey of self-discovery and a reconnection with self and with God.
That is brilliantly put. Brilliantly put. So I'm curious to know, how is it that you came upon this piece?
Oh, that's a great question. So in 2021, when we were still in the thick of the pandemic, I had actually just gotten married. And I got, like, I would say a week after my wedding or something like that, I got an email from Roundabout saying, like, hey, we're doing this reading of a play. You know, it's a part of our Refocus project, which Roundabout has been doing for several years now, bringing playwrights of color back to the forefront, you know, bringing, revitalizing plays, et cetera. So I got an email about Home, and they were doing a reading of it, a virtual reading. Kenny was directing it, and they asked me to be a part of it. I've worked with Kenny. I know him from my days in the Atlanta theater scene. And so I did the reading. Again, it was virtual. I did it at my mom's house in Maryland because, you know, in the pandemic, we were everywhere. And did that virtual reading. It was great. That was 2021. And then 3 years later, the opportunity presented itself for the show to have a revival on Broadway. And Roundabout and Kenny reached out again. And I was so grateful. I had no idea that that reading in 2021 was an audition, but I'm glad that I was able to show myself true and prove myself.
That is amazing. Yes.
Yes.
So you mentioned that not only are you in this production now, but you also did the reading on Zoom originally. So what has it been like developing the piece from the Zoom reading to now?
Yeah. So when I did the Zoom reading, I actually read for Woman Too, which is interesting because now coming into the piece as Patty Mae Wells / Woman One, I feel like I have an understanding fully of like all the characters that, you know, both women have to play because I have literally read and done both in different ways. But developing it in this way has been nothing like the Zoom experience. Doing the table work, then being able to put it on its feet, finding all these different characters has been so fulfilling and challenging and expansive. I feel like I've like expanded as an artist, and it's been really exciting, like a very fun, exciting challenge. That's what I would say. And Kenny has been really amazing at just giving us the freedom to play and find who these people are. Because even though we only drop into the characters for, sometimes it's just a few lines. You're in a character and then you're back out of it. You want them to be fully realized people when the audience encounters them. And so it's been really fun having the freedom to figure out who these people are and how they reoccur, or, you know, maybe you only see them once, et cetera, et cetera.
That is amazing. Now, with this piece, in my opinion, this profound piece that, though written almost 50 years ago, it's still so relevant today. What is the message or thought you're hoping the audiences will take away?
That's a great question. I hope that audiences leave the show knowing that when you're on life's journey and you come through those challenging moments, or you come to those times where you feel like God or spirit or whoever you believe in, whatever higher power you believe in, maybe has abandoned you, or you feel like they're not hearing you, that really every single part of your journey is being ordered. Your steps are being ordered for your greatest good. You know, everything does always work out in the end. Everything really does work out the way it's supposed to. I think that is the biggest message of the show. Cephas goes on quite the journey, as you know, you've seen the show. Highs and many, 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 many lows. But in the end, it is all worth it. It is all for a reason, all for a purpose. And I think that is a message that we all need to receive, because life be lifin'. That's something I love to say. Life be lifin'. You know, we were talking a little bit before we started recording about life for both of us a little bit right now. You know, life does what it's going to do, but just having the knowledge and the belief and the faith that everything is happening for a reason and it will work out for your highest good. That's what I want people to walk away with from this show.
I love that idea. And I certainly took that away. So bravo for that.
Thank you.
My final question for this first part is, who do you hope have access to home?
I really want everyone to have access to home. I really do think it's a story for everyone, but particularly communities of color, and particularly Black people, and I will say Black men of color. I think, well, I'm saying Black men of Black men. I would love to see more Black men specifically in the theater, especially those who maybe don't come to the theater as often, or who maybe feel far removed from theater, or feel like theater's not for them, right? Those are the types of people I want to see at this show, especially because I feel like Cephas's story is so relevant and so relatable to the plight of Black men, even in 2024. You know, like you said, the show was written 1979, 1978 or so, but it's still relevant. The challenges that Cephas goes through, the things that he has to overcome, the things that he's fighting through. I want Black men to be able to see themselves reflected on that stage and feel empowered and feel seen and feel heard. So that would be the audience that I'm really hoping for, like getting more Black men in those seats.
For the second part of our interview, I love giving our listeners a chance to get to know our guests a little bit better, pick your brains, if you will. And I want to start by asking you, what or who inspires you? What playwrights, composers, or shows have inspired you in the past, or are just some of your favorites?
That's such a great question, and we'll be here forever, Andrew, let me tell you. Okay, Well, funny, first of all, it's funny that you brought up Ain't No Mo. I saw that show first at the Public in 2019, and I was completely obsessed and blown away. I felt like it was one of the best pieces of theater I had seen in a long time. Specifically at that time, like, I was just like, what is this? And I saw it twice. Again, this was at the Public. The second time, I ended up meeting Jordan E. Cooper, having dinner with him after the show because we had a mutual friend, etc. Again, this is 2019. 2 years later, 2021, Jordan calls me to do the Miss Pat show. We just dropped our fourth season like last week. So now I've been working with Jordan all this time. So it's just crazy how that was all interconnected. You know, even just going back to what we were talking about with home and Cephas's story and how everything happens for a reason. But so Ain't No Mo was like a hugely impactful piece for me. Not only did it impact me as an audience member, but it has impacted my life and my career journey from connecting me with Jordan. So that's been a big one for me. Wicked is like probably my favorite musical ever. It's definitely top three. So that's like huge for me. Huge. so excited about the film, but I've also seen the show. I don't know, maybe 3 times at this point. I always just want to go see Wicked again and again and again. It's a story that never gets old to me. Constantly inspired by that. I could keep going, but I feel like I'll ramble on each thing that I bring up. And anything August Wilson. I loved Hell's Kitchen. What have I seen recently that I really enjoyed? Because I tried to squeeze in as much theater as possible before we started performances. I saw Illinois and I loved it. So unique, unlike anything I've ever seen on Broadway. So I would like to shine a little light on that show just because it's unlike anything I've ever seen. They tell a story fully through dance and movement. And I didn't know what I was walking into, like similar to you coming to see Home. Like I didn't know what I was stepping into. And it was so inspiring, especially as I was in rehearsals for Home, trying to figure out these characters, trying to figure out their physicality, trying to make our storytelling as clear as possible. And to see what they were able to do on that stage without dialogue, the clarity of the storytelling was just phenomenal to me. So shining a light on Illinois as well.
I love all of that. All of that. That's an amazing list.
Yeah, I'm a theater nerd.
I want to ask you now, what is your favorite part about working in the theater?
Ooh. Oh, man. Theater is like, it's a lifeline to me. Like, it's in my blood. That's such a great question, but I'm like, where do I even begin? What do I love about working in theater? One thing I love is the immediacy of the audience to actor interaction, the real time, you know, response, the real time, you know, energy exchange that you get with an audience to actor being on stage. There's nothing like it. And that is also one of the things that as I found my way into TV and film, when I did book the Miss Pat Show, it's a sitcom. So we have a live audience once a week. We do a live thing in front of a studio audience. And that has been the thing that has saved me these last few years because I've been missing theater so much. But being able to do that show and have an audience every week has been a version of theater, you know, even though theater with cameras. But I would say that's one of my favorite parts. I would say the other favorite part is just being able to, well, it's kind of in the same, under the same umbrella, being able to share space and suspend disbelief together. We're breathing the same air. Kenny Leon says it all the time. He's like, we're breathing the same air as the audience, but we are here to convince them that we're somewhere else, you know, and take them on this journey. There's a beauty to that agreement that we make in the theater, in this sacred space, and we're going to take this ride together. You're going to sit there, we're going to breathe the same air, but you're going to watch us take this journey and believe every moment that we put you inside of. There's something really, really special about that.
That is such an incredible answer. I love that. Love those, that philosophy, that mentality. And I 100% agree with it. Well, now we've arrived at my favorite question to ask guests. And that, of course, is what is your favorite theater memory?
Ooh, favorite theater memory. That is a great question. Okay, I have two. My very first theater experience was a community theater experience, you know, just bare bones, doing everything ourselves. And I was actually the lead in this show. It was a terrible show, no offense. I won't even say the name. It was an original terrible show. But from that experience, up until then, I had been very focused on just music in my life. And I got this opportunity because they needed someone who could act and sing. And I had somewhat of a natural knack for acting, but I had not really studied or trained yet. Again, community theater. So I did that job and I fell in love with what it meant to develop a character and really bring stories to life and break down scenes. I got completely bit by the bug. You know, I thought I was just going to be a singer, but it's like, no, this is the type of storyteller I want to be. And from that experience, that very terrible community theater experience, I dove headfirst into classes and training and ended up going to Steppenwolf West for a summer, you know, intensive and all these things. It kind of like really started my journey. So that's a big theater memory for me. And then my other favorite theater memory would have to be being a part of like an original musical in Atlanta. It was a show called Blackberry Days. And just being able to like help see a show, you know, start its trajectory as an original musical and learning the songs and, you know, figuring out how we're going to tell the story, just being a part of something being built, you know, in progress, in process, was really fun, a fun time.
I love those memories. Absolutely love them. Thank you so much for sharing those. Well, as we wrap things up, I would love to know, do you have any other projects or productions coming on the pipeline that we might be able to plug for you?
Thanks for asking. Well, right now, like I said, the Miss Pass Show season 4 just dropped last week. So still promoting that heavily. Would love for people to go watch it. If you've never seen the Miss Pass Show, all 4 seasons are streaming right now on BET Plus. It's a really, really great show, co-created by the brilliant Jordan E. Cooper, who is also a playwright. Yeah, it's a really great show. Miss Pat is a comedian, and it's the story of her life with her family and her pursuing her comedic journey. And there's a lot of shenanigans that go on. And I play her oldest daughter, Ashley, and we have a good time over there. We laugh, but we also make you think, and we talk about hot button issues, and it's just a really great show. So I'll just plug that, say go watch it if you haven't seen it.
Yes, 1,000 times yes. It is on our watch list right now. We saved it. We are diving into it this weekend as soon as my wife gets home. So great recommendation. 4 seasons, binge watch, here we go.
Yes.
That leads to my final question, which of course is if our listeners would like more information about Home or about you, maybe they'd like to reach out to you. How can they do so?
Yeah, so with Home and for me, you can reach out on Instagram at Brittany Inge. Brittany spelled the correct way, I like to say. BRITTANY. Inge spelled INGE. And same for my website, BrittanyInge.com, same spelling. You can learn more about me there and you can reach out via Instagram. Yeah, I'm always down for a little exchange in the DMs, you know, about the craft or the work or any questions, et cetera.
Wonderful. Well, Brittany, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with me today, for sharing this amazing show. Thank you for the experience I got in taking in the show. This was all just so wonderful. It's such an honor to get to speak with you. So thank you for your time today.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me. And thank you to your listeners. Make sure if you guys are in New York or if you're on your way to New York this summer, please come see Home with Roundabout. We are at the Todd Haymes Theater on 42nd. Come see us, please.
Yes. My guest today has been the amazing actress Brittany Inge, who is currently co-starring in the show Home. It's playing now through July 21st at the Todd Haymes Theater. Tickets and more information are available at roundabouttheater.org. This show is a creator's pick. We are guaranteeing you that you will love this performance. If you don't like it, you come see me. We'll talk about it. I'll set you straight. But more importantly, you need to get your tickets now. I have a very, very good feeling the show is going to sell out right quick here soon. We also have some contact information for our guests, which we'll be posting on our episode description as well as on our social media posts. You are definitely going to want to follow Brittany. She does some amazing work. So go check her out right now. See the production of Home play now through July 21st. So until next time, I'm Andrew Cortez reminding you to turn off your cell phones, unwrap your candies, and keep talking about the theater.
In a stage whisper.
Thank you.
If you like what you hear, please leave a 5-star review, like, and subscribe.
You can also find us on Facebook and Instagram at Stage Whisper Pod.
And feel free to reach out to us with your comments and personal stories at stagewhisperpod@gmail.com.
And be sure to check out our website for all things Stage Whisper and theater. You'll be able to find merchandise, tours, tickets, and more. Simply visit stagewhisperpod.com. Our theme song is Maniac by Jazzar. Other music on this episode provided by Jazzar and Billy Murray. You can also become a patron of our show by logging on to patreon.com/stagewhisperpod. There you will find all the information about our backstage pass as well as our tip jar. Thank you so much for your generosity. We could not do this show without you.